With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Don't need no credit card to ride this train, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man who just threw a stapler at me, Pete Dawson's here.
Don't let him through the curtain into the stationery cupboard.
Into the bowels of the Ramble.
No one wants to see how a sausage is made.
No. It's not with staples.
All right, Sweeney,
it might be.
That's enough.
Unless something happened before I walked into the studio, that was completely unwarranted as well, Pete Dawson.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You threw a stapler at him for no reason. Action.
Well, because I'd run out of staples, that's why, because I was firing
that's
them around.
That's why, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, to replenish them.
Yeah.
We all know that's how they work.
Throw it at Marcus.
You just can't just throw every problem at Marcus, as much as we'd all like to.
He's a problem solver.
Yeah, absolutely right. Speaking of problems, the Oscars, eh? Oh, they've only gone and happened again, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't watch it. I don't know if anyone else did.
No, I've no idea what happened.
I do it with every award ceremony. I just watch the monologues and then go, yeah, good.
Were you on the red carpet outside?
Yeah. getting mugged off by Simon Le Bon again.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
He was a bit merry, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was.
Little video.
I mean, if you are being literally kept out of the Brits, how far away do you think you are from an Oscars invite?
What do you mean kept out? I could have gone if I wanted.
Yeah, Pete can do it, but let's not have him inside.
It was inside, but it's still like very chilly because they leave the doors open of the auto.
The dog is very much part of the family.
Yeah.
We just don't want him inside.
Let him ride in the back.
Yeah.
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 where he can stink up the place as much as he likes.
Right.
I can't think of a more perfect analogy.
If you could choose someone from the world of football to play an existing character in a film, what would you come up with, Jim?
Well, we all love the movie Die Hard because we are human beings, and
we do.
The only logical response to it.
You've spoken on behalf of me there, but I'm fine with it because I do very much love the film Die Hard.
Good. I'm glad that we all agree. I would like to see Jurgen Klopp play both of the henchman brothers that Hans Gruber has.
Oh, nice.
The one, the ho-ho-ho, now I have a machine gun corpse.
And the guy gets hung by the chain.
Yeah, because they're brothers,
don't
aren't
tell
they?
Them Klopp, what happens.
If they don't know what's happening in Die Hard, then, you know.
I understand it's annoying when people get spoiled, but there is a limit. I think Die Hard is made in the 80s. Yeah. If you've not seen it by now.
And to be fair, that you know, that's... Yeah. That doesn't really spoil too much. I would have Jurgen Klopp playing both of those guys because he's just got that look, isn't he? And he'd be very fun with it as well.
And he laughs and smiles in odd situations, like we saw in a cup final when he G'd up his players before the penalty shootout. He came away smiling away.
He would say ho, ho, ho if John McClane had killed him.
Yippee Klopp, yeah.
There we are.
There's something quite sinister about a Klopp smile, a grin, isn't there? He's got a little bit of behind the eyes, I think.
Yeah, it's not like there's any malice in it. It's just that it's unhinged. It's completely unpredictable. You don't know why it's happening.
It's a bit,
so therefore you can't, you know, predict what it means.
It's a bit Pesci and Roger Abbott.
Yeah, he's not in it. Who's
the baddie in? Oh, it's Christopher Lloyd, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Spooky.
You think of Joe Pesci in Moonwalker?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same role, isn't it, really?
By far his best film.
Yeah. I just want everyone to be cool.
Yeah.
Me and Marcus always have little squabbles about that scene in Moonwalker, don't we?
Really?
Because I'm fairly certain that he goes, I just want everyone to be cool. And Joe Pesci's got a little smiley
drugs,
fist.
And then he
injects the last with drugs. And then
no,
Michael Jackson gets so angry he turns into a robot.
I mean, that all happens, but not in one neat little scene.
I'm sure
it does. Is this why you're a stapler?
Marcus is a very, very strong knowledge
of Moonwalker.
Yeah, I know, of
Michael
Jackson.
He's pretty good at doing the dance as well. He did it at a tube station once, so I was very impressed.
Did I?
And that was the last time I was impressed with you, Marcus Speller.
Okay. Well, fortunately, that was only the other day. Hopefully, it's one of those occasions again.
I mean, I think it's very, very fairly indicative that on a football podcast, if someone said to me right now, what's Marcus an expert on most, and I say Michael Jackson, it's probably showing that we're a bit off piste.
I think so. Well, moving on swiftly, Luke, what would you answer to this question that has nothing to do with football?
Well, it's interesting that it came up, and I'm fully endorsed Jim's
it's
answer.
Interesting that it came up.
Well, I'll tell you one in a minute, but I'm fully endorsed Jim's
cup
answer
final to talk
because it's great for the late great Alan Rickman to get a mention on.
Yeah,
there,
of course.
It's sort of,
all right.
Fairly obtuse. Well, the reason it's interesting that it came up is because only a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Brendan Rodgers as Colonel Kurtz in Apocalypse Now, you know, off-piste in Cambodia, you know. I actually quite like the idea of Brendan Rodgers being Captain Willard, actually going up the River Nung rather than being Colonel Kurtz, but that's not my answer. My answer is Phil Brown as Han Solo.
Oh, just stunned silence.
Just the coolest, he's just the coolest man in football, playing one of the coolest characters.
Again,
would
something
be on a
I think
motorbike?
We could all get behind.
And I'll be more specific. Have you seen the most recent Star Wars film?
Yes.
Mm. So when Han Solo, I'm not going to give anything away. There's no spoilers. Don't worry. I won't give any spoilers away. But the way Han Solo is unveiled in that film, just take a moment to imagine if it was Phil Brown.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing.
I kind of want to make a joke, but I can't because it's a spoiler.
A big sound could be Chewbacca.
Yeah. No, Jabba, surely.
No. They're pals, aren't they, Brown and Alice? Yeah.
No, but Jabba the Hutt's chasing Han Solo.
That's true. That's true.
Better, isn't
that's
it?
That's true, yeah.
Who'd Although Allardyce never chased Brown.
Who'd be the bounty hunter? Who'd be
Boba Fett?
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Slatan would be good at that.
Slatan.
I do like the idea of Phil Brown spending a summer just riding around Endor on like a
speed
pod or whatever they were called.
Yeah. Speed pod.
And somewhere at the bar, you'd see Dick Advocaat.
You know that when Phil Brown saw that there's a new Star Wars film being made, you know he fancied it.
Yeah,
he fancied, I could do that. I could do something in that.
Yeah, Bond's up for grabs soon.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
I would love to have access to Phil Brown's daydreams. Can you imagine whenever he's listening to a song, like he's picturing himself singing it and actually really thinking he could do it. Like if the X Factor's on, he thinks, I could walk this. I could absolutely walk this.
With no name. Trotting across Texas.
I was thinking...
on his trusty metal steed.
Steed.
It could be Phil Brown and Gary Lineker in a bar. Who shat first?
Yeah.
No, all right.
It was Gary.
Yeah.
In that football match where he's in the pool.
There's a film waiting to be made.
Yeah.
We should have made this more specific and been like, who could be the new Bond?
We've done that already.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah, we probably will.
Don't worry, that one will come back round.
That okay, calibre of question worry. Gets asked every Saturday morning on Five Live. It I'm does. Almost certain. Yeah. Goodness me.
All right, so keeping with our calibre of question, Pete, what are you
exactly.
going for?
Exactly. The Social Network.
Yeah, right.
The Winklevoss twins.
Yeah. Okay.
Toshack and Terry.
Oh, yeah.
Two little brawlers being little... slugs.
they're not clean cut and smooth enough.
No,
that's
what I like
mate.
About
you
it.
Can you know
the Nevilles.
You're smooth enough.
You're clean cut and smooth.
The
Laudrups. They've got the hair.
The Laudrups
are going to be great. Yeah.
Even the De Boers.
Oh, fair dues. Yeah.
Jim, I don't know if you've noticed this, but more often than not, Pete does an answer. Marcus helps him with the answer,
and then Pete gets the point.
Yeah,
because Marcus is a deranged despot who needs to be stopped.
And then Pete gets annoyed with me.
Yeah, I do. The only way I won last week was because I brought in props.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy White. Right, that was good, though. That
which I gave to Joel
you.
And have not received it back. Naughty Joel.
Yeah.
What a rogue.
He's the ramble roadie.
He's the ramble roguey. Stealing
find,
my possessions.
I couldn't find any evidence of Jimmy White's song online.
It's mad, isn't it?
I couldn't hear it anywhere.
It's mad. From the internet.
Yeah.
You need to upload it to our YouTube channel.
As a service.
Because if it's the only place people can hear it, we're going to get quite a few hits.
He might be on.
I say quite a few.
Yeah. 55.
He might be on his uppers though. He might try and sue us.
Yeah,
I reckon we'll get 147 hits.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I decided not to.
Okay.
I think I'll stand by my decision.
There we are. I had a few. I thought, talking of Bond, Sepp Blatter as Blofeld. I thought, is it a bit obvious?
Obvious, yeah.
Yeah. I thought.
Do you want me to help you, Marcus?
No, you're fine.
Absolutely
well,
not.
Well, let me disgrace myself first, and then you can pick me up if necessary. Gianni Infantino, if you squish his face up a bit as the Predator.
What?
That's harsh.
It's very harsh.
He looks a bit like Captain Scarlet.
No.
He's very smooth.
Like if you really squeeze, the Predator, because well, no, he's but, clearly a human.
No, but if you squish his face up
you'll
a bit.
You'll play the Jim. King and I.
Or
oh, yeah, yeah, King and I. Who played him?
Yul Brynner.
Yeah. All right.
Or Albert Finney and Annie.
But I settled for Claudio Ranieri as Sean Maguire, played by Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting.
Hang on a minute.
Hang
give
on.
Me a
whoa,
sec.
Steady. Sean Maguire as in the one who was in that 300 parody.
No.
This is like you've genuinely got Pete to help you with your
Robin
answer.
Robin Williams' character
yeah.
from Good Will Hunting.
Played right. by who?
What, the character's name's Sean
yeah,
Maguire.
But played by who?
By Robin Williams.
Yeah, but who is playing him?
Claudio Ranieri.
Thank you, I forgot.
The listeners are shaking their heads.
Yeah.
I think...
Just trying to get the earphones out of their heads.
Yeah, probably. So Claudio Ranieri doing the Good Will Hunting.
Lucas Laver as Rambo.
No. Chris Sutton as anything Jeff Goldblum's been in.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff,
that's
by the way,
naughty. That's very naughty.
Jim, another little feather in your cap. Jeff Goldblum wasn't invited to the Oscars, was he?
He might have been.
He wasn't.
That's rude. See, I'm not anti-Goblin. We know this.
But that means he can't be A-list, surely.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Well, I'm just putting it out there.
He doesn't need to.
He'd be at the Oscars if he was A-list.
No.
He doesn't need to be invited. He turns up if he wants.
You said he decided to not go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I forget who's on whose side. It's me and you and Jim, isn't it, against everyone else, isn't it?
Yes, Peter.
Against everyone else, what, Luke
terrible bed fell off of you, isn't it? You've let yourself down.
Well, look at the competition, mate.
Yeah.
Snuggle up.
Who's got the points?
Who shot first, me?
I think Phil Brown is Han Solo.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's only fair.
I
think that's only fair.
Although Claudio Ranieri is Robin Williams' character in Good Will Hunting, I think is a wonderful answer as well.
It was a confusing answer.
It was an answer. Diagrams.
No, it wasn't a
it
confusing
It contained words.
Unbelievable.
Marcus.
Genuinely exasperated. Enjoyable.
Know your audience. Yeah.
Or you'll get the stapler again.
Well, the audience are with me. But my co-presenters aren't. It's an absolute
it's a very convenient thing to
dark
tell yourself,
forces.
Isn't it?
Anyway, let's go to the League Cup final, where Liverpool drew 1-1 with Manchester City. And it ended with a penalty shootout. Always enjoyable. Mm.
I really enjoyed the game.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it from start to finish.
I was so pleased for Willy Caballero. He had a shocking week, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was taking an absolute battering because of his poor performance in the FA Cup. And... he said that he was really pleased because it was his first cup win. He's won cup medals on the bench for Boca, but I think this was the first cup final he'd actually played in.
Yeah.
And
it's also the culmination of quite a nice story because I remember reading during the week that Caballero also said that some of the best years of his career came under Pellegrini and they clearly have a very sort of strong bond together. Mm, and so it was nice to see Pellegrini make the brave choice to stick with him. Because it would have been the easiest thing in the world to stick Hart in there, and he stuck with Caballero the whole time in that competition. And And especially after Caballero's performance, as you said, in the FA Cup, it's great to see him stick by his convictions and great for... But the thing is, a goalkeeper can't really lose in a penalty shootout.
But he can certainly win.
He definitely won, though, didn't he?
He did win, yeah.
He did. Hat-trick. So, Pellegrini said afterwards, "Personally, I'm happy because I would rather lose a final than lose my word. I don't know about you, but my word is more important than football."
You see, I think he's getting a bit smug.
Shut your noise.
No, I love it. Oi! Don't side with him.
Shut your word.
I know. Do you not like that? Pellegrini's taken a bit of flack recently.
It's easy to say when you've just won the cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, of course it is, and he said it.
I mean, he wouldn't have said if they'd lost. Yeah, but Marcus, if they'd lost, though, he would not have said those words, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
I'd rather lose. Well, thanks. Mm. Yeah, I'm glad
at least I'm
getting
my word.
I've won the Word Cup.
Don't take me on it, Scrabble. Last I checked, he did win it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really getting anywhere with this, are we?
No. Should we talk about that Raheem Sterling miss?
Yeah.
Because that was really, really something.
Well, what about the first goal, though? I mean, that shouldn't have gone in, should it? No. Mignolet, another kid. I mean, two keepers who have got the necks on the block.
Actually, when Sterling missed, the commentator on Channel 5, or 5 as it's now just called, said that Sterling had missed what's close to an open goal. And like, I know Mignolet hadn't covered himself in glory, but he still has a physical mass.
Yeah.
You know.
Jesus. The thing with that Sterling miss was, it wasn't... I mean, if he'd have taken a touch and steadied himself, he'd still got the whole goal to aim at and obviously should score.
But the way it came... The situation.
Well, but the way it came across, though, Jim, it was all set up to hit it in that corner, quite simply. The keeper was even diving the other way. It was one of those chances where you think you just have to simply guide it. You don't have to think about it, really. Mm. And it was a really bad message. Of course, he puts that away. The way Liverpool were playing, they didn't look like they were going to break them down anytime soon. I mean, obviously, they went on to do that. But at 2-0, you've got it. I mean, in a cup final.
You certainly, what you're saying in a roundabout way is that would have been the game, really.
Who knows? But you would think, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you who was excellent, put in one of my favourite performances of the season. That was Lucas.
He was
good. Absolutely fantastic. I actually think, and I know it's easy to say on a one-off game, you'd have to see him a little bit more. I know he's played here and there in that position before, but... He was, for me, he was better than any other centre-back they have, based on that game.
Mm.
He interpreted the role in such like an old-school fashion. Yeah. He played right on the limit of what was acceptable. He knew he had to get physical with Aguero. He knew he had to be all over the place. He just put in such an amazing performance for the team.
Well, he's an experienced
really great
player,
to see.
Isn't he? And he's always been a very selfless team player.
Very much so.
But do you not think, though, with a performance like that, it's fine for a one-off.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But if you try to play him there regularly...
Well, you say that, but Mascherano's moved there from that position.
Mascherano's is... one of the best players in the world, you know. I mean, he's absolutely superb.
According to Roy Hodgson.
He is the best player in the world, according to Roy Hodgson. But Yaya Toure did all right.
Yeah, he'll do that.
He lasted 120 minutes plus pens.
But there's nothing more predictable than that, is there? I mean, it would be more predictable if he didn't play well in a cup final. Yeah, it's interesting to see the rest of the players celebrating without him, essentially, after the penalty shootout win.
Yeah.
He peeled off and they all sort of went another way. I'm not sure if I'm reading too much into that, but... For me, it's very, very disappointing to see a player do that. I mean, it should go without saying that a player can get up for a Wembley Cup final.
Mm.
I mean, fine, great. But, I mean, it's the games they really need him when he decides to turn up for 10 minutes. If anything, it just compounds the frustration in him, I'd say.
Yeah, but surely you can't criticise him for having a good performance.
No.
You can't criticise him for how he played in a cup final based on how he played in a different game.
No, it's taken in isolation. His performance was fine. He played well. But what I'm saying is, you know, you've got to look at a man's sort of performances in the season in context, haven't you?
It makes it all the more frustrating when he doesn't turn up.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you know he's still got that in his locker against Liverpool, who are a decent team this season.
What he's shown to everyone watching there is if he fancies it, he can put it in for 120 minutes and play very, very well. Well, cheers, but we all knew that. We all knew that anyway.
When your brother's on the field.
He doesn't choose it.
Brilliant.
Jim, did you enjoy that? The Toure's against each other.
Yeah, it was nice. The circumstances were a bit of a shame. Sako really did look like he didn't know what planet
he was
on.
Yeah, that was a shame.
He
was really frustrated and upset as well. It's hard to see. But there was a potential flashpoint quite near the end of the game where Lallana and Yaya Toure had a bit of a coming together. And I was thinking, come on, Kolo, get in there.
Finally.
What are you going to do?
Prove that you're the hardest because you're the oldest.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
The law of numbers when it comes to brothers. That's how it works. But he didn't step up. And Craig Bellamy says something interesting before the
game. Of stepping up.
Well, before the game, they had Bellamy on the punditry.
On the panel?
Yeah, it was actually, they were on the bench at Wembley. It was quite good, him and Robbie Fowler.
Oh, yeah.
And they were asking Craig Bellamy why he didn't step up and take a penalty in a penalty shootout in the League Cup final before. And it was against Cardiff.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, because if I didn't... Well, he essentially said in slightly different words, I didn't really want to be the guy to beat Cardiff because I love Cardiff. Yeah. It's a bit like, which should you really be playing then?
Yeah, a bit late for that.
I think if Bellamy worked a little bit harder, I think he'd be a really decent pundit, but I just don't think he does.
I'll tell you what he said. He said, oh, because if I stepped up and missed it, I'd have been a hero for Cardiff, because obviously he likes Cardiff. Mm. But if I stepped up and scored it, I would have been a hero for Liverpool, so I decided just to stay out of it.
Yeah. I don't want to be a hero.
It's very odd.
Imagine if it had gone all the way around.
Yeah.
And it come to
you'd
it.
Have to. You'd have to.
I think it's more disappointing with Liverpool. The captain, the vice-captain, step up. The penalty take. Why not put your best penalty takers at the start instead of the end?
Sturridge apparently had cramp, didn't he, and couldn't walk. That was...
He was very disappointed.
Yeah, that's what Klopp said afterwards.
Mm. He was very disappointed. It's understandable because of the problems he's had, and they're clearly not fully match fit, but... I was surprised he played for as long as he did, and I didn't think he contributed an awful lot, really.
Mm. I thought maybe because they had Firmino and Sturridge, didn't they? Mm. Yeah. If they'd have maybe put Firmino right up top like they did at the Etihad and had another man in the
very
midfield.
Very odd they didn't, you know, replicate that entirely.
It worked perfectly for them the first time around, I thought that.
But then maybe he was trying to second-guess Pellegrini, because he maybe thought, oh, Pellegrini will expect us to do that and then we'll play with another one a bit further forward.
Can we talk about the stutter penalty?
Yeah.
What I loved about that was...
Coutinho, wasn't it?
It was Coutinho. Mm. Coutinho's face when he realised he'd done the stutter and then he realised he'd cocked everything up. Yeah. And you could see it in his face. He went, oh, the keeper didn't dive. What do I do? Oh, no!
What's the point of the stutter like that? You might as well point where you're going to shoot. It's the same effect.
Well, that's what...
You know what it says to me, Jim? It says to me, right, you're the penalty taker. Everything is already in your favour.
Yeah.
Don't do anything to try and relinquish that. Just hammer the advantage home. Don't muck around with it. There's no point.
Was it Coutinho did that no-look pass in the first half?
Yeah, for no reason.
And if he'd actually looked, and he overhit it in the end.
Yeah.
If he'd actually looked, he probably would have got it into the striker. Yeah.
There'll be several thousand Vine users talk about how great that was. It wasn't great. Just played a pass. You probably could have scored.
To no
one. You probably could have scored a goal. Yeah.
I know what you mean with penalties, Luke. Just run up and hit it.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was a Champions League final in Moscow when Cristiano Ronaldo tried to do that stutter. Yeah. Mm. And I think Cech just looked back at him.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo then hit one, you know, nice height for the keeper, not particularly in the corner. And I think it was Cech in goal and he saved it. And you thought, if the keeper stands up to that, you've not really got anywhere to go.
If you're Aguero, I can really tuck it in the corner with just one step. Fair dues. Nobody's Aguero.
But Cristiano Ronaldo, we are talking about it, lest we forget. But he got it wrong. The dinked penalty, don't get me wrong, love seeing it. I don't want to be an enemy of football or anything like that. When Chan steps up to do that, I just wonder if that has any kind of psychological effect on his teammates. Do they think, oh, that was a bit easy? Yeah. Or maybe it's not at all. Maybe the penalty takers are so focused that has no bearing.
I don't think it's that.
It may even be that it focuses the goalkeeper more. Because it's like, well, all right, you're taking the piss out of me.
Yeah, do you know what I think it is? I think it's a case of players now... I don't want to come over all Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses about it, but players now aren't saying, I'm taking the penalty in this penalty shootout for my team. Mm. They're saying, I'm taking my penalty.
Right.
How am I going to do my penalty? And it's all about the individualism of it. It's not about the team. It's not about it breeding confidence throughout the team and trying to win the shootout for your team. It's about, how can I score this penalty for me? Mm. And the problem is, you're bringing variables into the situation that you don't need to bring in.
Yeah.
A penalty shoot, taking a penalty is a very, very clearly defined situation. Probably the most clearly defined situation in football because no one else is moving. There's nothing going on around. You just ball's on the spot. You're taking a penalty.
Yeah.
Don't introduce variables into the situation you don't need to bring in.
Yeah, that's
and the reason you're doing that is because you want to be seen as someone who did this penalty or that penalty, and essentially stay in people's minds as the person who did that. And Jim's slightly right in what he said at the beginning about Emre Can or whoever it was who said that. How is that setting the stall out for the rest of the penalty takers? Mm. Just bury your penalty. I know he scored it, but just bury your penalty in the most businesslike fashion possible. It's a team game, and give your team the best chance of winning the shootout. That's what you've got to do.
Yeah,
but the classiest thing to do would be to rifle it top left. Not even just straight in off the post or whatever. That would be the classiest thing to do. Mm. But people can't do that. That's too hard. I could dink a penalty.
But if you bring a player, a fully fresh penalty you're taking player into a training ground situation, he's warmed up and he's in peak physical condition, he should score a penalty, whoever the keeper is, every single time. The variables that you have to bring in, which you've got no choice over, are one, the pressure that's been brought upon you, you can't do anything about that, and two, the fatigue you've got from playing all game. There are enough variables as it is. Don't bring any more in.
Yeah.
Just rely on your technique and take the penalty properly.
Yeah, well, you are decreasing your chances of scoring
Absolutely,
if you dink a penalty.
Exactly.
However, like I say, you know, when you do see a dink penalty in a final and so on and so forth, you know, if we see it in the, you know, in the FA Cup final or in the Euros or something, I will be going, oh, wasn't it brilliant? Ha ha ha. But if I'm a fan,
ha ha ha.
you know, if I'm a manager or something of one of those teams, I'd be like, don't ever do that again.
I'm happy to watch it as it's entertaining.
Well, in the same way, we all enjoy, you know, a little bit of argy-bargy or something on the field. Get what we're saying, Jim.
What about Messi and Suarez? Where do you stand on that, Marcus? I'm sure we talked about it before.
Messi and Suarez?
Their penalty
from a few weeks ago.
Oh, that one.
The past one.
Great to see. We will talk about it, but... You know, if I was a manager of that team, I'd be like, what are you
saying? It's slightly different because they're winning the game and they're two of the best three forwards in the world.
Yeah, it's a different circumstance.
Not in a shootout as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But it wouldn't be allowed. Yeah.
Indeed. A great example of how much the nerves get to you was Adam Lallana failing to trap the ball when Caballero kicked it to him for his penalty.
He's the player most likely to let you down since Jermaine Defoe. At some point, he'll always let you down, Lallana. I wouldn't trust Lallana as a player as far as I could throw him. I genuinely wouldn't.
And I look forward to seeing him at arrivals, no, departures at Heathrow later on in the year.
Why would he be at arrivals? Unless something's gone awry.
Sent him back.
Knowing him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, can he go to departures? You've got to go to the Euros.
You made the wrong run.
about a week and a half into the tournament, he might be on arrivals at Heathrow.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah, but it was great for Manchester City to get their first trophy of the season. Will it be their only one?
I think they'll win the Champions League. Shut up.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though, it was a dull game until Liverpool scored. Then it kind of came alive.
I sort of enjoyed it because
I say dull. That's a bit reductive.
Well, I enjoyed it because it's a cup final. And there's a certain amount of the whole sort of tradition of it, and the fact that it's an event piece that you can get behind anyway. So that hype beforehand sort of tides you over for at least half an hour at the start of the game, even if it's really boring.
I
enjoyed it.
A lot of penalty shouts. Most of them nowhere near being penalties. Which was a little tedious after all. Well, I wonder if that's just the scale of the occasion.
Did you not have enough penalties on show?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Maybe the referee saved them up. So we're doing what the end.
Right. You'll get five each. You don't need five. That's fine.
I enjoyed the graphics of the managers, the respective managers on the screens at Wembley. Klopp is getting more handsome.
Do you think?
As Giroud is getting uglier.
Oh, controversial.
Now he's grown his beard, he's getting uglier and Klopp's getting more handsy.
Well, you can see less of him, so that doesn't make
exactly
sense.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. We're going to talk about the Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Jim, Arsenal's title dream is over.
Going out.
They lost 3-2.
Does anyone want anything?
To Manchester United.
Didn't we just?
Another marvellous Marcus for you all to enjoy.
Yeah. Mark Rashford.
Yeah, otherwise known as. Van Gaal said that youngsters typically play well in their first match, but not so in the second. Mm. So according to Van Gaal, he is a special talent because he's played well two games on the go.
I really enjoyed a couple of points, or one point chiefly, that Thierry Henry made. I know he's not really been the greatest pundit since he's taken over, but he's starting to settle into the role now. And he was talking about how players that are that young don't do the things they're trained or coached to do because they're sort of overcome by the occasion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes them very difficult to defend against. It's it's hard to predict what they're going to do. And he was saying that Marcus Rashford in the game against Midtjylland particularly was really benefiting from that because he was just playing on like pure instinct.
Well, I mean, against Arsenal as well, he was harrying the defenders insane sort of pace and just doggedness. And I think that probably is a symptom of that, isn't it? You're just so eager to be involved and you've got so much adrenaline bursting through your veins that you just need to let it out.
Yeah.
I think this season, when Manchester United stopped playing to Louis van Gaal's plans, I think they played better, which is indicative of a wider problem with that team. But
Marcus Rochford. Was his name Marcus Rochford?
Rashford. It's because we were looking at a Rochford album before.
You keep talking to me about the 80s recording artist Rochford.
Well, I was on the
radio. His plans worked.
I was on the radio at the time doing like a music show, and when Rashford scored the first goal, I started playing Rochford's Cuddly Toy. I thought, oh, sod it, I'll play the whole thing. Yeah. And while it was still playing, he scored another one.
Are you taking credit then?
Massively. Massively.
I have to say, I got really excited. I mean, because the second goal was, Jim, I'm sure you were very frustrated by it because of the poor defending and that sort of stuff. But the first goal, I got excited because obviously he's young and English and a striker. And the way the ball fell to him, it reminded me a bit of a Robbie Fowler type thing. Oh, you can't teach that.
Yeah,
you can't teach the instinct to be in the right place place at the right
that's
time.
That's right.
And yes, I know he's only two games into his career, but if he's still doing that in 10 years' time, we'll have a player.
Terrible news for Jamie Vardy, this. There's no way he's going to the Euro.
Hodgson will probably take him because he's playing for United, like that.
Yeah, but I mean, Gabriel's non-clearance for the first goal was absolutely criminal, and he and Koscielny were so, so bad for the second one. Yeah. All three of Arsenal's goals were completely avoidable.
There's no excuse for two seasoned centre-backs like that to let Rashford do such a basic centre-forward move and get away with it.
I know what you're saying, Jim, but the two Arsenal goals, you could say, Manchester United.
Absolutely. I mean,
it should have been 0-0.
It was a kind of crazy game in that sense, wasn't it? In theory, I suppose, and on paper, a very, very weakened United side. They had a lot of injuries out there, playing a lot of young players. It's the fact Arsenal still scored twice while playing so badly should show you that actually, if they went up there with a pair, they should have actually been able to win it. But they were just absolutely disgraceful. That is not a team that can win a title. Well, there can be no pretension of that if you're going to turn up in such a massive game.
Yeah, well, Graham Souness
fail so badly.
He said Arsenal bordered on being a joke. Big players make others play. The big personalities, the big players drag the lesser likes with them when things are going badly.
Absolutely.
Who does that for Arsenal today? Where is the Tony Adams, the Thierry Henrys? Excuse me, lost my voice there. Having a moan up at half time when it's not going well. You know what he means.
He's right.
Absolutely.
He's right.
Well, you know, this big game bottling thing that Arsenal are so famous for did feel like it had gone for a while. You know, we came through some big tests earlier in the season and it just seems to be back to square one. And after the game, Arsene Wenger said, "I cannot fault our spirit, our commitment, our desire. Unfortunately, we conceded two easy goals." I mean, I can fault all of those things because none of those things were in any way evident enough.
I wonder if Welbeck, timid. Welbeck looked like he fancied it.
Yeah, Welbeck's probably the. I was thinking about this on the way.
He's the only
studio.
Player who seems to be putting.
He's the only one that you would in that team he played on Sunday who you'd think, yeah, I'd back him. I'd believe it for him. I believe it. So when you look at the three tests that were put across the three top teams in the Premier League, Leicester came through theirs dramatically. Spurs went a goal behind and came through theirs. In a game that they're expected to win because that brings its own pressure. Mm-hmm. Arsenal had everything lined up for them to win that game at Old Trafford with all the injuries that United have had and the disarray that United are in.
And still a tough place to go.
It is. But
absolutely. I mean, you never have a God-given right to win at Old Trafford, but this is such a good opportunity to do so.
But there's not one there in the league for 10 years.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
So everything's set up for them. Of course, they've still got to go and win the game and both teams want to win. I understand that. But you take my point.
Yeah.
And Arsenal... and. Just to follow up on something you said earlier, Jim, about that, they've come through a few tests this season. They have, but that was before the pressure was on in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Secondly, the best chances they had to get another 3 points on the board was at Stamford Bridge in September, I think it was, or was it November? And they just dished out a regulation 2-0 win.
Yeah, a lot of that
Chelsea
was daft sendings off, which they should have been bigger than. But
everyone
this is
was
it.
Winning.
There's
there.
A variety of absolute variety of ways to fall apart for Arsenal. It's quite impressive.
But you're right. Everyone was winning there, and Arsenal came up, and it was like the three teams, the same old like it was last season.
The three teams that
goals
won
and
at
assists, everybody loved it.
The three teams that won at Stamford Bridge around that period, where Arsenal were beaten easily by Chelsea, were Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, and Newcastle. Mm.
The performances that Arsenal have had of late demand that those players get on the training ground and go back to basics, just stop conceding stupid goals, just use that as a platform to actually start playing again. And the other team I've said that most about this season is Villa. And that the mentality doesn't look a million miles away. It just you look at the performance.
Have a word with
you
yourself,
think,
Jim.
You
know, come on,
you,
no, that's
you,
not
you
fair,
that
is it?
The performance and think, what are you playing for? What have you come to Old Trafford for? What are you trying to get out of this? Because it looks like you're just sort of fine with losing. And what the hell is that as a title push?
The reason why I think Arsenal won't win the league is because Arsenal are having their same old season.
Absolutely.
It just so happens.
It's endemic, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely. It just so happens that Manchester City aren't playing particularly well and Chelsea have obviously dropped way off. Spurs are in the ascendancy and Leicester are playing like a dog with two watsits, you know. Maybe not this week, but they're having a magnificent season.
But there's absolutely no excuse. So one of the biggest reasons that Arsene Wenger has given for them not winning more titles and is that there's financial doping in football in the shape of Chelsea, Man City and to a lesser extent Manchester United. Well, guess what, Arsenal? None of those three are seriously challenging for the league. There's no reason Arsenal shouldn't be better than Leicester, and there's actually no reason Arsenal shouldn't be better than Spurs. There's not really much between them. And if you look at Leicester and Spurs, you can go through their lineups every week and go, That player's got a lot of fight and determination. That player's got an edge. Look at Spurs. Dele Alli's got an edge. Dyer's got an edge. Mm-hmm. Vertonghen's got an edge. Alderweireld's got an edge. Kane's got an edge. Lloris even showed Danny more Rose. Than Arsenal has. Yeah. Leicester, Vardy, Vasilevskiy.
Drinkwater,
Huth, Morgan. Ozaki. Yeah. There's so many of them exactly who really, right. really want it. And I just don't. I look at Arsenal, and even when they show that they want to believe it, like Ramsey a little bit show, it gives a little bit.
Yeah, Ramsey always works hard.
But I still don't believe him, though, Jim. I just don't believe it. He wants it enough.
He's playing in a dysfunctional midfield. It doesn't suit him playing with Coquelin, and it's not suited him playing with Flamini. And part of the problem is that all of the fight is in Flamini, and it's got no focus at all.
Yeah. A nucleus of fight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just pure fight. He's not even sentient anymore. Yeah, it's just this burning mobile rage.
Leave your fight with him.
But I'll show you how it's done. I'll give a penalty away when it's touching the ball.
Absolutely. A problem is, though, a feeling, and I'm sure you will all agree with this, a feeling that you associate with Arsenal, and you don't even have to be an Arsenal fan to know this, is stress. It is. They're a stressy team, aren't they? The fans got on their back. They seem to panic. They get, you know, the same old things pile on top. And it's just an endemic thing at the club because it's been going on for such a long time. And how do you come out of a phase like that?
I just wonder, I think you said this actually before the mics came on, Luke, that how much does Wenger's team seems to mirror...
It's a mirror image of him.
The man.
He's lost... For me, as a casual observer, he has lost that steel and that determination. Everyone knows.
I mean, I don't think anyone can doubt that.
It's just a reflection of that. And even when you go out to these great Arsenal teams, and everyone will wheel out stuff like Vieira and Petit and stuff, fine. But look at players like Henry and Bergkamp and Overmars. Even they wanted to win much, and they invariably did. Yeah, and Arsenal, even the players who make to look like they really care. Again, they go back to Ramsey. I just don't believe it as much. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ramsey had two pretty decent chances in the last match last week, and he just didn't put them away.
He's not having a good season, but
he's had patches of form.
And then you've got the bloke who wanted that centre forward position, Theo Walcott. His form's dropped off a cliff. Absolute passenger.
Walcott needs to decide what he wants to be in this team.
But he needs depth up top.
140 grand a week. I would happily listen to offers for him.
Yeah, and the thing is,
and I'm putting myself forward as your agent, mate.
I've got nothing against Walcott. He seems like a nice guy.
He's a lovely man.
Yeah, but
at the moment, he looks like a children's author masquerading as a footballer rather than the other way around.
I wouldn't trust him in my car keys. I would not trust him in my car keys. But he would probably lose them and make some excuse about how it wasn't his fault.
He wouldn't steal it, though.
No, he wouldn't.
There's a veneer of arrogance for me with him, though. I just think I belong here and I need to be up top. It's like, your goals record... Week by week, if you spread it out over the season, you don't score enough goals.
No.
But you go through patches where you score loads, and it's like you need to do this every week.
He's
week
got something like 84 goals for Arsenal ever over a long period of time. You would think it would be more than 10 years about 10 years. I think he's coming up to it.
Yeah, I think my worry for Arsenal would be after that. I mean, as I say, they're having the same old season, blah 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 blah. But just to add to all this, that loss against Barcelona, you got to half time, they were 0-0, they were digging in. And they've still ended the game broken, and they look broken in the interviews after.
But you've got to get over that.
No, I know, Jim, but you've got to get over that. How are they going to get over it? You know, and this all neatly plays into Spurs' hands because Spurs, you thought to yourself, oh, are they going to, as Arsenal fans would say, Spurs it up? They went 1-0 down to a poor side. Was this going to be like the FA Cup game against Crystal Palace? They were hammering the goal. But they got there and they won the game. And you saw the atmosphere in the ground.
I was about to say, what else has Spurs got on their side? That atmosphere looked absolutely
White Hart Lane's had a great atmosphere for years, you know. And I mean, Tottenham used the second youngest starting 11 in the Premier League this season for a match, according to some of the papers, averaging 24 years old. They're 3 points above Arsenal now. But this is a crucial week for them because they've got West Ham away, and then, of course, they've got that game against Arsenal. And going into it, depending on what happens midweek, of course, you'd have to say Spurs are favourites.
Yeah,
I mean,
they will be favourites.
Yeah, they absolutely certainly will be. Arsenal have to beat Tottenham to arrest the slide in their own team. Arsenal have Swansea before that as well, and obviously, you know, that's equally important. But you just look at that and think Spurs on current form are absolutely going to win that. And also, I think maybe because Spurs think they're going to win the league every season, they're not fazed by the pressure of actually being up there.
Yeah.
Is that a thinly veiled dig, Jim?
It's more a scramble in the dirt.
Empty.
I read in the newspaper on the way up that Pochettino's going to change out his two fullbacks for the game against West Ham. I just thought, the ball's on the guy. Yeah. I'm loving that. Yeah. I'm loving it. I swap the fullbacks around. Got two more. I don't care.
Well, what I would say, Spurs fans, now listen to me now. I think we were talking about this on the phone-in show we do in America. So the Spurs fans are getting a bit jittery, and a number of my mates are Spurs fans.
Yeah, even American Spurs fans, which is really funny.
Yeah, they were like, no, this is not us, you know. Yeah. I said, it's like being on an aeroplane. if you've a bit of turbulence and there's a bit of unrest and whatnot, you look at the stewards and the stewardesses, you know, and whatnot. Listen to the pilot's voice.
Yeah.
And they're all calm, you're calm.
Yeah.
Just keep looking at Pochettino.
Yeah.
Keep He's looking great. At that man.
The quiet I'll
man
put a film on.
He's the difference here.
I wouldn't trade him for any manager in the Premier League.
No, he's doing an absolutely sterling job. I personally am just hoping for a fox in the chicken house.
Yeah. But they also...
A lasagna in the belly.
One of the things that I've seen Spurs fans point out about the game at the weekend is they turned that around without Dembele in the team as well, he's been excellent
but
for them.
The thing that Tottenham have, which all teams have when they look like they're going to win the league, is you just knew they were going to win that game. Even when they were 1-0 down, you just knew they were going to win it.
Well, but I think Spurs fans wouldn't agree with you.
Well, they've won. That's their sixth Premier League win in a row.
Yep.
So they've definitely got something about them.
In a sense, though, a team's own fans are the last people that should be judging things like that because you're too emotionally involved in it.
Well, but, okay,
you know, from an outsider's point of view, it was just never in doubt.
I think when they went a goal behind, I think they went a goal behind fairly early. I know, but I'm just trying to say when the goal went in early, I wasn't at any point thinking, oh god, they're ruined, they're finished here. I was much more worried for Leicester than I was for Spurs.
I'm sure Spurs fans don't share that, but they got the 3 points. But so did little Leicester.
They did.
Hey!
Even at Lucky Leicester.
Well, we were talking about different
tests.
Come
on, you foxes! Get in that chicken coop!
We were talking about, obviously, different tests they were going to face and whatnot. And a last-minute winner against Norwich at home to win 1-0 is not the stuff of title favourites or champions.
I've got
whatnot.
2 points on Leicester. One is that I think that's the third time this season they've had more possession.
That's what we talked about
And that's a test for them. And they'll have the same against West Brom. I think West Brom will like them to have the ball, and that might try and nullify them that way, which Norwich did quite successfully for 89 minutes.
Yeah.
Second point is, I think Kante's injured for 2 weeks.
Ooh, that's a massive loss for them. Well, the games that he's going to miss.
Jeff Schlupp is back, so, you know, there's positive
team
words.
Hope it's not an Arsene Wenger 2 weeks either.
Shut up.
It's actually 2 weeks.
Well, Leicester have West Brom at home and then Watford away. And Kante looks like he'll be out for those two games. So I said, maybe for Watford away, obviously Watford having a decent season, they could revert to that more cautious style. Mm. But then they have Newcastle at home and Palace away in March. Now you look at that, and obviously it's never this easy, but they perhaps should go into April top of the league.
They
should indeed. But Norwich.
Sorry, Leicester fans.
Yeah, Norwich. You know, took them to the 89th minute by just defending, and you know, Norwich are by no means a great team. So if other teams who are better than Norwich, which is most of them, start using that as a template, it could be that they frustrate Leicester and that rhythm gets upset. But you know, they've conceded, I think is it 4 goals in the last 9 games, Leicester, which is crazy. So they're really tight at the back as well. It's just they just face more respect than they would have before now. So it'd be interesting to see what they do.
I'd be interested to see it, hopefully West Brom, because West Brom played with Sessegnon and Berahino against Palace, and they
worked really well for them.
They looked better. I'd love to see West Brom really squeeze Leicester and make that Leicester defence push further up the pitch and leave a bit of space and see what they're like defending that way, because I don't think they've done that much this season. But just to build on your point, Marcus, about Leicester should be top of the league when we go into April. The fixtures they've got, if they're not top of the league going to April, it'll be like being relegated to League Two. they have to be top in April.
They probably don't deserve it if they can't get through this month without picking up at least 12 points.
We're one or two games into that 9-game stretch where all their games are winnable.
You say at least 12 points. Is it most 12 points?
Sorry, at most 12 points.
You're disappointed
in a pear tree.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't disappoint you get 13.
I can't believe I'm relying on Leicester to avert my own personal nightmare. How
much consolation would it be if Leicester win the league with Arsenal second?
Oh, that'll be fine. From where I'm sitting now, that'd be amazing.
I think you'd take it as it is now. Yeah. Leicester top, Spurs second, and Arsenal third. Mentioning West Brom, though, obviously they beat Pardew's Palace. Pardew came under fire in a recent press conference, didn't he?
And he
looked rather angry.
Little factoid for you. Crystal Palace had the same points as Spurs on Boxing Day.
Gordon Bennett. I mean, they're
look at them now.
They're 8 points above the relegation zone and haven't won in 10. I mean, if Newcastle win the game in hand, Pete, they go 5 points behind.
You got to hand it to Pete. He called it. He did. He said, Pete said all along, in the face of some opposition, I have to say, he said,
not on this show.
No, we were very supportive. Pardew cannot address a slide. He cannot address a slide.
Their last Premier League win was on the 19th of December.
He can't turn it around. Once he gets found out by his own players, he just can't turn it around. People lose a little bit of respect for him. You go, oh, he's not this Jack the Lad hero that we all know.
I mean, the idea of him being England manager now seems absurd.
Notice that this week all of the England chat got ramped up considerably because he sees that as an exit strategy because, you know, England don't have that many people waiting in the wings. So he genuinely believes he could leak before the end of the season for it.
He can settle back down to the England game.
She's England
from
being
Palace.
England being in this escape route from Palace. Respect. Mad.
They play like an absolute drain in the first half against West Brom. They were so, so bad.
Yeah. Is it fair to say, Pete, you've kept pretty quiet up until now?
I would love it. Yeah, but I like Palace. I just don't like him.
You've probably got a few bed sheets at the fans.
He's messed up enough clubs.
And you've got your bed sheets ready to hand out to the Palace fans outside the ground.
Well, I bought some new ones, actually. I could use an old one.
They're on 32 points, I think. They're not going to be relegated.
No, they won't be.
What a missed opportunity.
They haven't won in 10 games.
And Connor Wickham scoring a couple.
Yeah.
One was a beauty, by the way.
It was, yeah.
They've really struggled for goals, Palace. Really badly struggled.
But it's like you said, has one of the strikers scored yet?
Their strikers between them can only have a handful of goals in total in the league this season.
Wickham did really well for the first goal as well, to be honest. He basically made that happen. But, I mean, it's the other end where it's the problem, isn't it? The Berahino goal, it was a great finish from Berahino. But
that pass was amazing.
Amazing, but it was the only thing that was on. That was the only way there was going to be any danger in that situation, and like two, maybe even three defenders just weren't alive to it. He should never have been scoring from there.
I know what you mean. Yeah, they got hit. They got absolutely 1-2-3 in the first half. It was like Barry Davis said that famous that time. It's an early kickoff here, and some of the defenders
are still having breakfast.
It wasn't an early kickoff, really, but I mean, they were so bad. It's hard because I saw them play in the League Cup earlier this season against lower league opposition at Selhurst Park. And they rested a few players and brought a few players in at that point, and they were still doing well in the league at the time. And at that point, I thought, they've got good strength and depth here, Palace. They really have. Yep. I mean, they were bringing players on in all sorts of positions, and you thought, yeah, they're decent. They're a decent team. They looked the part. They really did.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you, as Pete says, as soon as a spell wears off for Alan Pardew, very hard to turn it around again. It's almost like Sherwood Max. Do you know what I mean?
Sherwood Max.
I don't know. I think
sugar free.
He's got more. He's got more about him than Sherwood. Do you know what I mean? Sherwood plus, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah. I went down to Palace and watched them beat Newcastle 5-1 for granted, which is not great shakes this season. But
looks good now, doesn't it?
It looks blooming great.
I remember talking about it, Peter. Right, we're going to go abroad after this.
Should Scotland be an independent country? Yes or no?
Not that one. hang on. There we go.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
In La Liga, Atleti beat Real Madrid 1-0 at the Bernabeu.
Oh, Cristiano had a tantrum.
He did. according to journalist Sid Lowe, under Simeone, Atletico have gone to the Bernabeu and beaten Mourinho, Ancelotti and Zidane. Another clean sheet for Atleti. They've conceded just 11 goals in the league this season in 26 games. 11 goals all season they've conceded. They move 4 points above Madrid. They're still 8 points behind Barcelona. But their defensive record, it's a shame that they don't score a few more at the other end, because they would be right up there with Barcelona, of course.
Simeone's clearly got them exceptionally well drilled. I think with the Ronaldo quote, it's so funny because he said what he said and slated everyone, said they weren't at his level. And then it was almost like a penny dropped in his mind, and he was like, I've got to go back in that dressing room.
No. Surely the boss has dropped the nut on him.
Yeah, maybe.
It must be the case that, you know, Zidane would surely know. Or Pepe, yeah. Or, you know, Zidane using Pepe as a puppet.
Or Pepe headbutted him in the back of the head and Zidane headbutted him in the front of the head at the same time.
Yeah, and that gave him some clarity of thought and he just did it of his own accord. Maybe that's how they do it. They double team him. But yeah, clearly it sounded like someone had been in his ear and he was like, I want to make it clear I am not better than my teammates. But that's the thing, he clearly is. Yeah. He demonstrably is as well. It's just mad all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his level of fitness though, Jim, wasn't he?
Of course he was.
He also said, I'm not saying other players like Lucas Vazquez, Jesse, and Kovacic are not good players. They are very good players, but it's not the same.
Yeah, they're just sluggish knobs.
Why have you singled them out there? Yeah. Why have you picked those three?
Everyone else.
Yeah. Why have you written their name on their hand? Why have you written his name on their hand?
They're just not even... They're not even making it hard for Barca, are they? This season. It's really...
They're strolling through.
He also said, I like to play with Benzema, with Bale, with Marcelo. Yeah. You're making this worse.
Yeah. I don't want to disrespect anyone, but when the players aren't available, it's harder to win. it's absolutely extraordinary.
Atletico are a good team, you know. Sometimes that's how football goes, you know.
But Ronaldo missed two good chances.
He's been missing a few lately.
He missed their best two chances, as far as I was concerned, or as far as I saw, in the game. You can't then come out and say, well, these other players are not pulling their weight.
He did against Malaga as well. It's just, you know, that has been a new sort of facet to his game. Do you think this rant was partly because this could well be his last season at the Bernabeu? It may be the case that even he doesn't know what he's doing next season yet. And
the journalists in Spain are winding him up. That's what's happening. You know, he said, well, you lot think I'm, you know, used to swear. He said, but the facts speak for themselves. And he was mouthing them off in the Champions League as well. I just think that he is getting frustrated with himself. But he's taking it out on other people, you know. In sports psychology, isn't it? I was speaking to our good friend Scott, Jim, and he was saying that you're reading something recently that, you know, in sports psychology you have two basic options of what people are. Well, in fact, in life, you've got, to use two tennis players as examples, John McEnroe's and Bjorn Borg's. Mm. And a McEnroe is the type where he says, I'm the best. Mm. And if it goes wrong for him or anything, blames everybody else. Yeah. Mm. Everybody else. Whereas Bjorn Borg thinks, you know, good player, always improve. And if he gets knocked down or he gets a bit of criticism, or if it goes away, improves, comes back, you know. And that's Messi and Ronaldo. It really is.
Winners and sinners.
We talk a bit on this show about individualism in football and how it's moving towards a sport which is becoming less about a team and more about the individual. And in no better example is there than Cristiano Ronaldo for that. I mean, he clearly has to deliver press quotes after games. He gets asked by journalists certain things, and he finds it difficult sometimes, I think, to hide his frustration both on and off the pitch. Mm-hmm. and it manifests itself in this way. I think, to be honest, I think, having a little joke about it earlier, as we were, I mean, all those players in the squad are going to know what he's like. I've heard a lot of people say he's actually a really good guy.
I've never heard a bad word said about him in the person.
Cristiano Ronaldo and Danny Dyer are two people where you regularly hear that they're absolutely lovely.
About Danny Dyer as well.
Apparently so.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that one.
Oh, my goodness.
Was Danny Dyer to blame for the defeat?
Oh, you mag. Mm. Right, Barcelona, the beat Sevilla 2-1. Nice free kick from Messi.
I haven't actually seen the Barcelona game. I have to concede.
Luis Suarez won the 2015 Best Latin American Player of the Year award.
If, when we're talking about, going back to what Sune said earlier, we're talking about players who make other players better. If that's the only, I'm not saying it is, but for the sake of argument, if that's the only rationale for the best players in the world, then Luis Suarez is the best player in the world.
Yeah.
There is not a player in world football that makes other players around him better.
He's sensationally
so good.
He does,
it's almost like he says to his team, we are going to perform at a certain level, whatever the result here, and I'm not taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
And in a way, Vardy does it, but to a lesser extent.
Yeah,
But Suarez, it just does not take no for an answer.
Being a defender against him, he's obviously absolute class. He can take the ball past you, he can finish and all the rest of it, but he hurries the defenders.
Yeah.
He never...
Runs
just,
at them.
Yeah, he never stops.
What happened? Imagine if Arsenal had got him.
Yeah, well, that was such a bizarre situation, wasn't it? Can I just say, actually, on Barcelona, obviously they played very well at the Emirates, and the performance from Arsenal on Sunday was not what a lot of people were expecting. And that is why they are a bunch of absolute mugs who have walked straight into our trap. I just have no idea of the shellacking they're going to get at the new camp. I'm embarrassed for them.
Jim,
I'm
really
embarrassed by them.
They
don't
know it.
You're right. They don't.
The Friday show after Arsenal play Barcelona in the second leg is going to be some glory for you in there.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Must be looking forward to that, mate. You've probably got your diary ready.
It's going
to
be great. Yeah. We'll probably do it live.
Indeed. Well,
do remember the preview show, of course, sponsored by Bet365 this Friday morning, where Jim will be laughing all the way to the Champions League final.
All the way to the asylum.
Actually, no, it won't be this week. It'll be the week after.
He can laugh all the way to the Champions League final next week if he wants.
Laugh every week.
That is the perfect time to do it, Jim. It's perhaps your last opportunity.
Your laugh is like honey in my ears.
Thanks, mate.
Seriously, get this honey out of my ear.
Athletic Bilbao, they beat Gary Neville's Valencia.
Oh, Negredo again. Did you see it?
Yeah, they got put 3-0, to be fair.
Yeah, but
he had a
back
bad
in the
miss
habit,
early
Jim.
On.
Back
oh,
in the
that's a bad miss.
Does that mean that Neville's contract offer has been removed again?
Well, it wasn't that long ago, Luke, that they had a four-match unbeaten run.
It's true.
Yes. Yeah, so lest we forget.
Aritz Aduriz scored for Bilbao, didn't he? He's 35 years old.
Mm.
And it's really interesting. He's had the best spell of his career by some distance, like since he was about... 31, 32. He really, really blossomed as a striker in his 30s.
But like closer.
Yeah, very much like that. Well, it's just nice to see, isn't it?
Speaking of 35-year-olds in Spain, Di Michaelis, there's talk of him maybe going back to Malaga.
A player who's not enjoying the best of his
But I did think to myself, there was talk of him maybe going to Argentina, according to...
Pellegrini has shown him pictures of Adrian. It can be done. It can be done at this age. What's wrong with you?
A good man, Dean Jones at Bleacher, said that he was going to go back to Argentina, and then Malaga may come in with his offer. And I thought, if you're 35 and you think, little swan song in Malaga, that is the epitome of a lovely old job, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Jim says about the fact that Adariz is a striker and it's more interesting. It's because you're right, and it's because when you're a striker, you've actually got to make things happen. So when you're a defender, well, you've got to stop things happening, which so automatically seems like it's easier. So really, Di Michaelis should be doing a lot better.
He should be.
What a needlessly unfair comparison.
It was unfair, but it wasn't needless.
Yeah, there we are. A couple of other big results from Europe. Juve beat Inter 2-0 in the Derby of Italy, of course. They go 4 points clear at the top before Napoli have played this evening, as we are recording on the Monday evening. Buffon's not conceded in 746 minutes in Serie A now, which is a new personal best for the big man.
Just outrageous at the moment.
He thinks he's Fraser Forster.
He does. He really does. I mean, obviously, Atleti have got a wonderful defensive record. Juve aren't that far behind them. They've only conceded 15 in 27 league games this season.
You should have done them first and built up to Atletico.
I should have done.
A bit underwhelming.
I sort of regret that. Well, I should have done Gary Neville and then we got on from there. Or I could have said that Aston Villa have gone 210 minutes without winning a corner.
Is that true?
Apparently so.
Oh my God.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. But the last team to score against Juve in the league was Sampdoria, which was nine Serie A matches ago. They've conceded two goals in the last 11 matches in all competitions. That was against Bayern. It was just unbelievable.
I can't believe they came back in midweek, though, in the Champions League.
It was
a good performance.
I mean, it's still obviously quite heavily in Bayern's favour, but still, in the second leg, there's a lot of life in that tie. Yeah, but it's nice to hear of say, Juventus and Atletico.
Buffon, there's another one doing very well as an old age. What's wrong with Di Michaelis? I think he's even older than that.
Yeah, what is wrong? That's how it works.
Look at Attenborough. David Attenborough. Still exactly. absolutely tearing it up in the world beyond of Europe documentary as well. Filmmaking.
Attenborough's doing Planet Earth 2 soon.
Exactly.
He's not slowing down.
No way. Sequel.
What's your excuse, Dee Michaelis?
Where else were we? Oh, yes. I'll just say that it's nice that we often talk about there's not many great defenders and great defending and so on and so forth. You look at the records of Juventus and Atletico.
Yeah.
There you are, Jim. It's still happening. It's still happening. Lyon beat PSG. They ended PSG's 36 match unbeaten run.
Are PSG having a wobble?
They are. Well,
how many points in front are they now, Mark?
23.
We go into the last 10 matches with them only with a 23 point lead, of course, at the top of the league. So it was a crucial one.
Like a jelly on a trampoline, wobbling all over the place.
Ex Newcastle star Olivia Kemen. Came on, made the difference. He sealed the points.
He'll do that.
Kemen sounds a little bit like Cartman trying to persuade someone. Kemen!
I like that.
Kemen!
Yeah. Darda's touch for the second
that was
Lyon
a fantastic
goal.
Yeah.
Burkamp-esque.
Bit of, it was bit of backspin on it to stop the keeper getting it.
And Cornet's one for the. Or Cornet, sorry, should I say. I'm not sure, actually. I've never done French.
It's Cornet, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was a lovely one, too. Lovely all round.
Lovely. What a lovely weekend of sport.
It certainly was.
Lucas Moura did this best to sort of drag PSG through that game. He hit the post. I think he might have been offside, though, but he was very, very lively.
Well, it was their first domestic loss since Bordeaux beat them last March.
It's almost like PSG have financially doped the entire country.
Last March!
Yeah, I know.
That's why Lyon celebrate like they've won.
Yeah.
They lost 1-0 to Madrid back in November, so they've lost two games in 42 this season.
Not good
ridiculous.
Enough.
Not good enough. Speaking of not good enough, let's go to Fever House. Gianni Infantino, of course, the aforementioned man.
We've got all we need.
The new president
of
FIFA.
An old Swiss guy. shaking it up.
He's a trained lawyer, but he has been working for UEFA since 2000 as general secretary. Wasn't Blatter general secretary member for FIFA?
A little bit of history repeating. Is Blatter?
Could
it's like
be.
Doctor Who.
New
or just a regeneration?
It is a stat
stem cells.
He is the ninth president of FIFA. The organisation has been around for 112 years. So they've had eight presidents in 112 years. That makes the average presidential stint at FIFA 14 years.
Yeah.
Vampiric.
Now that's, I mean...
Arsene Wenger-esque.
I heard Greg Dyke on Five Live talking about how he really supported Infantino.
He did, yeah. And so, that'll come back to bite him on the what's it.
He's a really odd... No, you know what I was thinking? You're lining yourself up for another bid, aren't you, Greg?
he basically said so.
You want another bid.
We did, yeah. Well, Infantino said that the bidding for 2026 should happen in the next few months because apparently it should have happened last year, but I think they were busy.
Hiding the money.
Setting fire to a load of invoices.
And laptops.
Yeah. All the power was going to the shredder.
Yeah.
None of the computers worked.
Laptops going through the shredder.
Could we get transparency? See-through shredders? That's not a point.
Set was one round with a real strong dynamo magnet suit. Just going walking, standing next to all the computers, so all the hard drives crashed.
Woo! Brilliant. Yeah. Greg Dyke said, "We haven't bid for any FIFA tournaments of late."
Okay, well done. Well done.
But they've been allocated.
Yeah.
That's why. And one of them, bid for one. Like, it's the most stupid thing. Largely because we didn't trust the system following the bids of 2018 and 2022.
You know what, Greg? I don't trust you.
Yeah.
I think you're an imbecile.
What tournaments could he have bid for after that? It's not taken place. Olympics. He did say that now Blatter's gone, England could bid for the... well, it's a different organisation, Jim.
England, got you there, Jim.
England could bid for the 2028 European Championships or the 2030 World Cup.
Great.
So, you know...
And if we don't get at least two of those tournaments, I'll be annoyed.
Didn't he say, like, I would imagine it'd have to just be one. You probably can't have both. Like,
sure, I mean, I know that. You're the head of the FA.
That's
well,
right.
In your case, Greg, you clearly can't have any of them. But at a push, you can have one.
Did you like this, though? Gian Infantino's first day as a FIFA president. He started his reign with a friendly football match involving Luis Figo, Andrei Shevchenko, Clarence Seedorf, Fabio Cannavaro, Paolo Maldini, among others. It's a good start, isn't it?
All the men who are heading to India to make a lot of money.
It's a great
start.
One
of the most fantastic yet unreported, sort of underreported tropes of this whole FIFA debacle over the last few years is just how little the players, past and present, give a shit. none of the current players I've ever seen say a single word about it.
Yeah.
Secondly, none of the ex-players care unless they can line their own pockets with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Do you remember when Ronaldo was directly questioned about it and he said, none of us care about FIFA, none of us think about FIFA. We don't talk about that sort of stuff. What we talk about is cars, trainers, and women.
Great.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Gilberto Silva said something about it, and there are a few others, but I mean, like three.
Romario
it's
does.
Astounding. Yeah, Romario.
And
obviously.
Diego Maradona. Two of the most corrupt football players.
I mean, but what a team they would make. We're like the Suicide Squad.
Well, we know what Maradona got up to at Napoli, for crying out loud. And Romario, I mean, he likes to fudge a few statistics. And
Romario recently...
Marcus, you can say that.
Yeah.
Can I?
Romario recently voted...
I'm talking about goal statistics, sorry.
Romario recently voted himself the second best player of all time behind Pelé.
Yeah.
In some sort of list that he commissioned for himself and then released in the form of a press release.
Lovely.
Thanks. Very humble of him to stay second, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Infantino did say that when he was asked about his salary, he said, I have no idea yet. I have not discussed this with anyone about my pay or what my pay will be. We will see. Don't worry, it'll become clear, son.
Guys, can I jump in? Do you want an impromptu Pete's game?
Yes.
All right, then.
Wow.
I stood on someone's foot today from the world of football.
Oh,
who was it?
Wow, this is unexpected.
Yeah.
Ask me a question each.
Okay, who's first? Mark, you go first.
Yeah, go in turn and I'll give you true or false. Yeah, yes or no.
Was it Jamie Carragher?
No.
Is he currently playing?
No.
You can have a guess now if you want to say, I guess, after your clue.
Paolo Maldini?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was playing with Infantino.
It's so impromptu. You guys are so, like, lost.
Come on, Jim, have a guess.
I'm going to give you one clue.
Oh, hang on.
Marcus will love a bit of this.
All right, okay. Come on, Luke. Okay. I've got the answer.
Did you say it wasn't a current player?
No, he's gone. You.
Is it a current player? No, he's not a current player.
No, it's not a current player.
Okay, so my question is, was he...
I've got it. I think I've got it.
Does he have brown hair?
No.
Okay, so is it Kevin Keegan?
No.
Is it Brian Penis?
No. If I had stood on Kevin Keegan's foot, that would be the number one thing in the running order.
Yeah,
forget the opening question for the week.
It's a good point.
I thought it might have been Penis.
No.
Go on, Jim.
It was outside. That's a good. What you just said is pretty good. In a sexist way.
Richard Keys.
It was outside a Pret a Manger in Soho.
I'm confused by Jim's failure to be able to name a single ex-football player.
John Barnes.
There you go.
Clive Mendonca. No, Steve Melbrink.
Why don't you ask, is he a current broadcaster?
Yeah, you can ask me questions about that person.
Is he a current broadcaster? What was his name?
No.
Good question.
No. Yes or no?
Luke, is he a current broadcaster?
No, he's not a current broadcaster.
Right, Luke's
no.
Turn.
Was it John Carver?
No.
Okay.
Was he...
Try and narrow it down first, guys. Come on.
Is he... In football? Is he working in football?
No.
Has he ever managed in football?
No.
Is he well known as an international footballer?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll start with just a couple of, I'll qualify some things.
Was he a striker?
Maybe. No, he wasn't a striker.
Did he play in the Premier League?
No.
Was he a goalkeeper?
No, the person was not a goalkeeper.
Did he play for Newcastle United?
No, he didn't.
Hang on, wait, Jim. Okay, sorry.
Should we just jump in? Because it could take a while.
No, Pete, you should give us another clue after this one.
Well, I don't know how many clues.
Could you not get it? It was outside Pret a Manger.
Was it a ham sandwich?
Quite near Soho Square.
In the central London.
Central London. A Pret a Manger near Soho Square.
I'd love a bit of this, apparently.
Did this happen in a dream?
Marcus loves a bit of this.
He's not a current player.
Jim says it's too broad. I will disagree.
Okay, did he play in Scotland?
Oh.
No.
Ah.
Oh. He didn't play in the Premier League?
No.
Did he play in the first division before the Premier League?
No.
Was it Demetrio Albertini?
No.
Oh, that'd have been good.
Someone from the world of football. Marcus will love a bit of this.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Was it a lady?
It was a lady.
Oh, okay.
You sexist pigs.
Yeah.
I said the word broad and you associated
Why
that with
it. Yeah, exactly.
And Pete, you answered quite a lot of my questions by saying, he didn't.
Yeah, because you said he. Oh. So I'm just replying about you.
Okay. Mm. I got it. Okay. Is it...
Oh, hang on.
Was it Mia Hamm?
No.
Oh, it was what I said on the Christmas show.
Who?
Is it Karen Brady?
No.
Oh, I thought you were referencing a joke on the Christmas show.
That will be obscure.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, this whole affair is kind of obscure, isn't it?
That's a good one. You've used another keyword.
Was it Rebecca Lewes?
No.
Go on, Marcus.
That was never proved.
Was it... What's her second name? Nancy.
Nancy DeLolio.
Nancy DeLolio. Technically,
where did you do that? Hang on, started football.
From the world of football.
No.
Why do we know her name?
That's not because of
from the world of football. I technically have Sven DNA on my foot.
Why are you going around
stamping
ladies, calling us sexist?
You've misled everyone there.
I'm sitting there going, he didn't play in the Premier League. Nancy DeLolio.
I asked, did he play for Newcastle United?
Yeah, always nice to get a reminder as to why we don't do Pete's game anymore. Yeah.
She's a respected lawyer. Have some respect.
When Marcus asked if she'd play for Newcastle, you pretended to think about that.
Actually, to be fair, of all the teams.
Yeah, probably did. Turned out she did, Jim, play for Newcastle United. Not in the world of football.
In the world of football?
No.
Why do we know her name?
No.
Because you went out with Sven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't enter the world of football. And we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Pete's lame, more like.
Right. Let's get it back with some highlights of the week.
I'm not sure I can follow that with some highlights of the week.
We've had the low light of the week.
I'll do my best. Alex Nuttall says, has been in touch to say there was some Paul Parker chat on last week's show. Yes, there was, I think. My sister used to be friends with his daughter and used to go round his house while he was still playing at Manchester United. And when I was still quite young at primary school, I once rode in the car with my mum to drop my sister off and got invited into his house, but I got so nervous I couldn't get out of the car.
Aww.
He finishes it by going, what a shit story. It might be shit. Imagine how shit the rest of them were, Alex. I'd have to get in. What else have we got here? Mike Taylor was in touch on the Facebook. He said, Martin Tyler describing Callum Chambers and Luke Shaw sitting together at Old Trafford as two young men there enjoying their time together. I don't know what that
I'd
means.
I'd love to get that card to you and put it over some gay porn.
Yeah, I don't know what that
means. That'd be brilliant.
What have we got here?
It'd be brilliant.
Joel Edwards.
It would be passable.
Joel Edwards says, my highlight of the week is Vincent Kompany tweeting a picture of all the Man City team celebrating together with a lonely Yaya Toure sat moping at the side.
Oh,
I haven't seen that, but it's
what's wrong with that guy?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I've got one more.
Maybe it's his birthday and we've all forgotten.
Could be. This is from Robbie Kingstar. I think he's friend of the Ramble. Certainly a very regular contributor. He says, my highlight of the week was a guy who once threw a toy car at me in primary school, got a credit card application rejected. #, I always get my man. It's that sort of pettiness we welcome and encourage.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, it's not quite the medieval trebuchet back and forth.
It's up there. Well done, Robbie.
Yeah. any more highlights?
I enjoyed Adrian's weird kick-ups for West Ham.
I haven't seen this.
When they were playing Sunderland. Yeah, the ball was passed back to him. It was slightly awkward, but it was like he was trying to do, like, remember that McDonald's advert with Scott Parker in it?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Sort of like proper exhibition kick-ups. Mm. I mean, to be fair to him, he wasn't, but it looked like that. And it was funny.
Mm. Lovely. Lovely old job. Jim, let's have a website round.
Yeah, let's. So in a week that saw septuagenarians of all nationalities unifying confusion over the operation of a handheld voting device, footballramble.com remains your number one destination for soccer ball based bafflement. This week, Kelly asks, why is a referee mimicking Jerome Boateng? Is Louis van Gaal's quiff integrity directly related to his team's form? Is Manuel Pellegrini the unluckiest man in football? And what would Cristiano Ronaldo possibly be moaning about now? Follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells, reporting live from Carl Jenkinson's hat.
Mm. one thing we all missed was Louis van Gaal jumping on the floor.
It was all set up, wasn't it, for it to be about that? For an embarrassing United thing where Arsenal won and then Louis van Gaal fell over. Kill me.
Yep.
Just kill me.
Mike Dean played that with a real flat bat. You see it? He just stood there, not even smiling.
I like that.
He can't.
One of the finest managers in the modern history of the game, and he's just looking down at him going, come along.
It's like Mike Dean sort of saying, there will be no entertainment here unless it's provided by me.
I initially thought he'd fallen over, but he hadn't at all.
I mean, he's getting on a bit. That's a crack dip.
Quite a slick move, though.
Yeah.
You can imagine he can probably do the splits if he can move like that.
Let's not try and see that.
You're like jumping on a space hopper with those testicles.
Yeah. any more for any more?
Testicles.
No? Okay. What about 442s, Jim?
Yeah, it's just us, but in cartoon form and on the internet. So you can find that on our YouTube channel, and you can also go over to 442s YouTube channel. Just check it all out.
Just enjoy it.
We can fully understand why people don't want to see us. But if you want to see an animated version of us, it softens it a bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Enormously.
It's like Vaseline on the lens.
I hope we can get to a point where technology's you know, advanced so much that we can actually do it in the studio, so we don't have to look at each other
live.
Anymore.
Yeah,
just nice. Animations as the Simps- over the top as of the our Simpsons
gag, as the Simpsons gag go, that would, has an incredible strain on the animator's wrist. Yeah, an incredible
right.
strain.
That's right. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show at thefootballramble.com or on Twitter at footballramble. Go to thefootballramble.com for lots of lovely things with the always excellent Kelly Wells operates, of course. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
And that's the power of the football ramble.
Not that.
Step one, make sure you and your dog can swim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.